Hi there. You are now listening to a sermon from Calvary City Church. We hope that this message blesses you, encourages you, and speaks to you. May God always reveal His goodness, mercy, and love to you. Enjoy the message.
Now, as we are nearing this two special occasion, I like to remind you that Jesus, before His crucifixion, after His resurrection, and minutes before His ascension, He always reminded the disciples of the redemption plan of God. Does that make sense? When Zacchaeus got saved, is it Zacchaeus? Yeah, that's right. In Luke, the 19th chapter, He said this. He affirmed His mission by saying, "For the Son of Man came to save that which was lost." Can somebody say amen, please? So therefore, as we are nearing, you know, as we are nearing Easter as well as Good Friday, let us be so powerfully and significantly be reminded of the redemption plan of God. You are saved. Now it's our responsibility to bring salvation to our loved ones, our neighbors, and the colleagues with whom we are daily associating with. Praise God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Do not wait until for this pandemic to over. This is the time to preach the gospel. Come on, somebody say amen, please. In line with this redemption plan of God, I like you to turn with me to Ezekiel, the third chapter. Ezekiel, the third chapter. We're going to read from verses 17 through 21. 17 through 21. A powerful reminder that we need to warn people. Son of man, I have come and made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked that you shall surely die, and you will give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, that the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood, look at this. This is the painful truth, but his blood I'll require you at your hand. In other words, the word blood means you and I are accountable. That's what it means. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Does that make sense? Right? And then he goes on to say, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness, backsliders, and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. Now, look at that. But his blood I will require you at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man, if you warn the righteous man, and that the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took your warning, and also you will deliver your soul. Come on, somebody say amen, please. I entitled this short message during this time of uncertainty, Am I responsible? Am I responsible to preach the gospel? Am I responsible? Why can't I lead a quiet Christian life? Many of us like to lead a quiet Christian life. Am I responsible to preach the gospel? In other words, it's like God coming down and asking Cain in Genesis, the 4th chapter, verse 9. God comes down. He knows everything because he's omniscient. He comes down and he asks Cain, where is your brother Abel? And Cain turns around and says this to God. God, why are you asking me? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Now, this is the same. You know, this is the same. We are accountable for our loved one's salvation. We are accountable for the salvation of our neighbors. We are accountable for the salvation of those people that we work with as colleagues. Are you here with me? Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Now, look what Paul says concerning this question that I posed to you this morning. Am I responsible for the salvation. Salvation is God's job. But you and I, am I responsible to preach the gospel? Now, about 2 weeks ago, I preached on this. Now, we read in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 16. And I like to read it in the Passion Translation. And Paul says, in relationship to this question, am I responsible to preach the gospel? And Paul says this. Look what he says. It would be an agony. Everybody say agony. How would you describe agony? It would be a sleeplessness. It will be agony to me if I did not constantly preach the gospel. It would be an agony to me if I would not preach the gospel constantly. Come on. And the New King James Version says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Undone. I'm undone. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. And then we read in the New Living Translation, it's terrible if I don't preach the gospel constantly. Three words are used. Number one, I'm in agony if I don't preach the gospel. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel consistently. And then it says, terrible am I if I don't preach the gospel constantly. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 22 and 23, in relationship to this, am I responsible to preach the gospel? And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 22 and 23, to the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I might by all means, save some. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Now, this I do for gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you. Come on, that I may win some by all means. And I do this for the gospel's sake. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Out there, if you're a football person, you play football not to just to skill yourself up. We play football as a Christian, that we can use this football as a means to preach the gospel. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Are you clearing the compound of your neighborhood? We don't just clear the compound of the neighborhood, but we do that because we, by some means, we want to win the loss. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. You know, friends, we belong to the new covenant. Come on, say new covenant. Towards the end of this service, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper, which marks the new covenant. But friends, the new covenant is not just forgiveness of sin. It's not just grace and mercy of God. It's not just liberty in Christ. But the new covenant, as new covenant people, we have been commanded to preach the gospel. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Are you here with me? You know, we have been commanded. Everybody say commanded. We have not been suggested. We have been commanded to preach the gospel. Are you here with me? I belong to the new covenant. You belong to the new covenant. And we read, and I like to read this. This is Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19 and 20. The church calls this the Great Commission. I call this the People's Commission. the people's commission. Go therefore. Come on. Say, repeat this together with me wherever you are. The scripture is appearing on your screen. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. It doesn't say go if you can. Huh? Go if you can. Kalau kamu boleh pergilah. Tidak. We have been commanded, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's why we are praying for the nations. Why did we introduce the praying for the nations? Because we want to instill a missions prayer, an anointing or conviction in your heart. Are you here with me? Come on. And then you say, go therefore and preach the gospel to all the nations. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've taught you from A to Z. And then, lo, I'm with you until the end. Glory to God. How many of you are watching this and you're not sure of the presence of God? I don't know, I can't feel the presence of God. You know, one sure way of experiencing the presence of God is when you go and share the gospel to someone, and I tell you, inevitably, the presence of God will follow you. Come on, somebody say amen, please. This is a wonderful promise. Are you here with me? Come on. Did I lose them? No. Okay, right. You know, friends, and I like to share this interesting truth from the scripture. To reinforce this commandment that God has given to us that we should follow once in the Old Testament and seven times in the New Testament, we have been given various titles. Everybody say various titles. You know, not even the Agong or the King can give you this kind of a titles. We have got eight titles that reinforces our obedience to this great commission. How many of you want to know? I want to hear amen from you. And all these titles are yours. Number one. Are you here with me? Number one. We are called the fishermen. Sorry, number one. We are called the firemen, not fishermen. Okay? Fishermen, everybody knows. Fisherman friend. Now, number one, we are called the firemen of souls. Firemen. Everybody say firemen. Kita adalah jabatan bomba untuk jiwa. Firemen. Jude chapter 1 verse 23 tells us, save some by pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating the defilement of the garment of flesh. Read the scripture. Look at that. You know, it's on the screen. Does it make sense? You know, friends, look at me. This is a painful truth. Every soul that's not saved, every pre-believer who has not made a decision for Jesus, there, one leg is in the fire. One leg is on the fire, in the fire. What fire is this called? This is not your kitchen fire. This is not your barbecue fire. This is not some fire. But this fire is hell fire. That's why Jesus said, the way to heaven is narrow, but the way to hell is wide and broad. How many of you know that? Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Number two, the second title that reinforces this commandment that you and I must go and preach the gospel. Number two, we are called the fishers of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fishers of men. You know, friends, yesterday, if you did not log on and listen to yesterday's service, I encourage you to log on. And it's in the YouTube, it's in the Facebook. Chris Yab, who is a missionary with Cruise. Cruise means not cruise ship. Crew, what is that? Christ. Sorry. Campus Crew said, he preached a message on compassion. He preached a message on compassion. He used the text, Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 35, 36, 37, 38. He used that and he said three things. If you want to practice compassion, you have to be in the midst of the people. Fishes don't come to you. You have to go to the fish. Right or not, Pastor Boy? Yeah, the only fish you can go to is a frozen fish. That's right. And then he said, if you want to practice compassion, you have to go where the needs are. Yes, find a need and meet the need. That's how Pusat Kebajikan Calvary came about. And then he said, number three, if you want compassion, you want to practice compassion like Jesus, then you have to seek, you have to ask, and you have to pray, he said. If you want to know more, listen to his message. That's his message, not my message. And he preached a good message. He could have put some fire inside. Yesterday, the charcoal was burning slowly. It was a good message. Our young fellows can preach well, all of them. Come on, we are called, number one, we are called the firemen of souls. Number two, we are called the fishers of men. And Jesus said, follow me, Peter, follow me, John, follow me, Pastor Boy, follow me, Angie, follow me, Raymond, follow me, Kalimutu, follow me, and I'll make you, Sakan, what, come on, I will make you as fishers of men. Come on. We're called the firemen of souls. Number two, we're called the fishers of men. Number three, we're called the watchmen. We're called the watchmen. We're called the watchmen of people. Watchmen, not watchmen. Ni penjaga, bukan security guard. And we read in Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 17, Son of man, I have called you to be a watchman over the house of Israel. Come on, I'm a watchman for my family members who are not saved. I'm a watchman for my neighborhood that's not saved. I'm a watchman for my colleagues. I'm working among Christians. Sometimes they backslide, I need to bring them back. And watchman. Are you here with me? Watchman. Everybody said watchman. My job is to tell them that you're going off tangent. You're going away from the word. Come back. Number three. We are called. I like this. See, look at the titles you have. Huh? You are so jealous. Someone has got Dato. Someone has got Tantri. Someone has got this. Someone. You don't even know the titles you have. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You are called. You are called, number one. Number three. You are called, number four. We are called the sent out one. Say sent out one. Kita dipanggil sebagai orang yang diutuskan oleh Tuhan. The sent out. Say sent out. That's right. Does that make sense? That's our theme scripture. Romans 10, 13 to 15. Come on, look at me, everybody. That's our theme scripture. What does it say? You know, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they call on whom they have not believed? How will they believe on whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach without sending them out? Without sending them out? Without sending them out? And it says, how lovely are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and the glad tidings of good things. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Kamu telah diutuskan oleh Tuhan. You've been sent out. Say, I'm sent out. Come on, somebody say amen, please. I'm sent out. And then, you know, friends, number five, we are called. And you know what's the title we have? We are the Christ ambassadors. Christ ambassadors. Everybody say Christ ambassadors. That's the scripture. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. As Christ ambassadors, we plead with you as though God would plead. And we bring you the message of reconciliation. We're Christ ambassadors. Say Christ ambassadors. Hallelujah. Inside of every man, the soul is naked, the soul is wretched, the soul is deprived of the glory of God and the eternity that God has for them. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Thank God both of them are saved. Praise God. Christ ambassador. Does it make you excited? That's the title we carry. Chris, isn't that wonderful? God will just bestow these titles upon us. Number six, we are called the laborers. Everybody say laborers. You can be an executive. You can be a CCO. You can be CEO. You can be copy all, whatever, all you can be. But friends, I tell you, in the body of Christ, you are called a laborer in the harvest field. The laborer in the field. Come on. Yesterday, and Chris preached from the scripture, Matthew, the 9th chapter. And I like to read just verse 37, 38. Jesus then looked at the disciples and he said, Ding. What do you think he said, Ding? He looked at the disciples and said, the money is not coming in. No, he didn't say that. You know, and looked at the disciples and said, the harvest is truly, honestly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest who engineered this redemption plan. Pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Come on, somebody say amen, please, into the field. And number 7, and I like this. Are you here with me? Please stay with me. Now, these are your titles. I tell you, these are your titles. You can meditate on them and you can feel so accepted. Hallelujah. God trusts you and give you this title. And number 7, you're called the fruit bearer, not the pall bearer. That's funeral. The pall bearers, right? What, Paul, right? Paul bearers. You're not an undertaker, but you're a fruit bearer. Come on, say fruit bearer. Come on, camera woman, say fruit bearer. That's right. Fruit bearer. And Jesus said in John 15 and verse 16, Jesus said this. He said this. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit. What is this? This is not the 9th form of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he said, this fruit, which then lasts through eternity, take it to eternity. And then whatever you ask my Father in my name, I'll give it to you. What is this fruit? The fruit of salvation, the fruit of discipleship, the fruit of mentoring, the fruit of we journeying with people, bringing them from the darkness into the marvelous light, as in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, for you are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, who has been called out of darkness, holy nation, who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. When you come out of the light, you have to bring those people, and then who declares the praises of God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Number 8, I like this. Come on, look at me. You know, friends, just minutes before Jesus was about to ascend, you know, his leg is on the steps, about to ascend. But the bomb! No, it didn't break. About to ascend, he turns to them and he tells them, between the clouds, between the earth, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. And Jesus said this to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will become my witness. You will become my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, in the uttermost part of the world. You will become my witness. Glory to God. Look at the 8th title that has been bestowed upon you so that you can preach the gospel. Let me answer the question. Is this my responsibility to preach the gospel? Yes. And amen. And double confirm. Church, you cannot lead a quiet, peaceable life as a Christian. You have to preach the gospel. Yes, that's our call. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's our call. For that reason, men and women of God laid their life down to equip you and I to preach the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? I want to give you 2 testimonies. And I'm looking for my water. Just, you want to follow me? Daddy. Okay, sorry. You know, friends, I like to share with you 2 testimonies. Do you like to hear some testimonies? Okay. Thank you. That's why we want practical service, no? We can do all these things. Pastor Boy and I often go to this, he's looking at me, what am I going to say? We often go to this old folks' home, not PKK, but this is, we help someone to set up the home for those who can afford. We often would go to the home and we'll pray for them. There's some church members there, okay? If you have anyone who wants to go to a reasonably paying home, this is the home. Dalam Bahasa Malaysia, Sederhana. In Cantonese, I think, Caputo, Boleh Tahan, right? Yeah. It's not too expensive. It is not too cheap, you know? You can go. And we go and pray for the people. It's like a house group. We go and we pray, encourage them. And I heard an amazing testimony last Tuesday. Pastor, we have been, as you enter on the right hand side is a Christian family. I don't know how much they have been witnessing. Okay, but on the left hand side of this home is a multi-religious family. Multi-religious, you know, Chinese, Chindians, Indian, okay? And you know what? We have been sharing the gospel to them. You know? We've been sharing the gospel to them. And we just bought a Bible and gave them. Serious. They're not even saved. They just bought a Bible and gave to them. You know? And we want to see them saved. Really, look at that. While they're trying to build this old folks' home, here, they are so reminded that they are called to be soul winners, and there they are sharing the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Pastor Boy and I were pleasantly encouraged to see them. You know, sister and brother and another brother and taking care of the home, and they're sharing the gospel outside of the four walls of their old folks' home. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't this what we are supposed to do? Come on, somebody say amen, please. And I like to, you know, that this is what Jesus said. My time is not coming yet, right? I still got time. This is what Jesus said. We need to be relevant. Say relevant. In order to be relevant, you have to be real. You know, you cannot be relevant without being real. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And Jesus said, look what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, 14, 15, 16, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, from where can it be flavored? He's the master flavor. Right? Except to be thrown on the ground and to be trampled underfoot, right or wrong. And then he said, you are the light of the world. You're not some torchlight. You're not some spotlight. You're not some lighter. You're the light of the world. And then you are a city on the hill which cannot be hidden, right? And then nobody lights a lamp and puts it under the bed, but they put it on a lampstand so that people can see the light. And let your light shine that the people will see your good works and give glory to the Father. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus a glory. Hallelujah. There are 12 different kinds of salt in the world today. The Himalayan pink, the black salt, the pink salt, the all kinds of salt. The table salt, you ask Ding or any of the ladies, they will say it. But we are called to be evangelistic salt. We're the evangelistic salt. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Okay, another testimony. Do you want to hear now? Okay, right. Now again, Pastor Boy. This was I think he just came full time. You know, he was still behaving like the Malaysian Airlines staffs. Okay, and then this center boy was one of our center. We run a drug rehabilitation center. One of them from the healing home was admitted in the hospital, D block. I'm sure Pastor Bo would have forgotten, okay? And for some reason, at that time they did not have drugs that can press this virus down, you know, and this HIV has become full bloom, right? Am I using the right word? Right? Yeah. And this guy has got all kinds of diseases, breaking of the lips, the skin, dry skin, you know. That's what happens. Your immune system shuts down. And then we went to pray for him. While we were praying, Pastor Boy was praying, and I was praying, my eyes looked at a gentleman who was looking at us because they have a corner where all the HIVs are, you know. And so I told myself, okay, I leave Pastor Boy here and I'll go to this guy. After finishing, he was talking to him in Chinese. Ni hao ma, lei sek pano. He's talking to him. And I went and talked to this guy. He was like some in pain. Also same. You can see all their lips breaking and you can see the eyes drying up. You know, the things like that. Immunity shutting down. You know. And I said, can I pray for you? He immediately, English speaking guy, seemingly he's not a drug addict. He got HIV. Yes, you can do other things and have AIDS too. You know what? And he was angry. He said, I don't trust in God. I appreciate what you're doing for him. I don't want you to pray for me. He was so upset. You know? And I was thinking, my goodness. What happened to this fellow? Why so angry? You know? And really. And then, we went out. Because you know why? It's time for the doctors to come. We have to quickly come out. We came out. You don't know whether you remember. Okay, you don't remember. Do you remember laksa we ate together? Okay, that he remembers, Pastor Boy. You know, friends, you know what? Then in my heart, I was very heavy. I told myself, I must come back. And then in the evening, we came. By the time we came, it was visiting hours. Visiting hours, they will not allow you one by one. You have to go all together. Otherwise, the others will be pressurizing them. So you know what? So we waited until the visiting hour, and we went. Evening. Went in. My goodness, you know what? What a sad story. As I walk in, I hear people, one or two people crying at the back. And I looked at the bed where that guy was lying down. It was surrounded by the curtains they have. He died. He died. You know, I felt so terrible. I felt so terrible. You know, the Bible tells us, look at me, the Bible tells us in Hebrew, the 10th chapter, verse 27. It's appointed unto man once to die after that judgment. You know, friends, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation, 20 and verse 10, hell is never meant for human beings. Hell is meant for the one-third angels that fell. Hell is meant for the false prophet and the beast. Never, never God's intention to send back his creation back to hell, the lake of fire. That day I knew in the heart of my heart, in the pain of my pain, in the frustration of my frustration, I could have changed his eternity if I would persisted, if I would spoke and said, no, no matter what your feelings are, you turn to Jesus. He did not give me an opportunity to even say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If I've loved that scripture, John 14 and verse 6, all the days of his end is coming, he would have called the name of Jesus. It was too late. Turn to your neighbor and say, too late. And friends, that's the world we are living in today. Death cannot be avoided. Eternity is real, whether it's heaven or hell. But life is filled with uncertainty, hopelessness, if the gospel is not preached to someone who needs it. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Is that wonderful? Very quickly, as we come to the close, worship team, can you come? I'd like to make some correction to the population of the world. I gave some figures that probably would have been old statistics. The world population today stands at 7.5, you know, 5 billion people today. This is latest. Hopefully this is latest. Everybody says they got their latest. Now the percentage of Christians worldwide is 32% is considered to be Christian. 32, not even half. Now listen to this. The number of Christian martyrs worldwide, people who brave the opposition and preach the gospel, about 160,000 Christians worldwide are martyred for their faith every year. How many of you watch the YouTube on a Christian nurse in Pakistan? You know, after she prayed, and she's a singer, she started singing gospel song to the patient. You know, and you know, all the nurses and doctors who are Muslim came and beat her up and locked her up in the room and allowed some of the, by this time a mob gathered outside the hospital, and she's trying to convert Muslims, and they allow some of them to come in and beat her. And I saw the video. You know, friends, in the midst of all this opposition, I kept preaching to you, the word of God cannot be chained. Can somebody say amen, please? It is estimated of that 7.5 billion people alive in the world today, 3.15 billion of them live in unreached people's group with little or no access to the gospel. You know, friends, we live, all of us, in Malaysia. We live in this 1040 window country from East Asia to West Africa. You know, and this is the region that is predominantly dominated by those people that are not reached. What an awesome responsibility we have. Can somebody say amen, please? Today, as you pray for Malaysia, our Malaysian population is almost 32 million. Almost coming to 32 million. Birth every year is 1.25 million people. Birth every year. That means every day we have 465 babies are born. Death every year is almost 330,000 people. Death every day is 125 people die every day all over. Okay. Now, of this, look at our harvest field. Of this, I'm sure you're listening, Muslims make up 61.3%. Buddhists make 19.8%. Christians, 9.2%. Hindus, 6.1%. Confucianism, Taoism, Baha'ism, and other traditional Japanese and Chinese religion, 1.3%. Out of 0.5% are people who don't have any religion. Atheists, 0.8%. Unspecified, you know, 1%. And friends, we have a great harvest in our nation. We need to zero them up, and we have a three place of fishing. Number one, my loved one is a fishing place for me. Number two, my neighborhood. My neighborhood. I cannot be indifferent to my neighbor on the right, on the left, or up or down if you're living in the apartment. Number three, we have a place of fishing among the place where we work. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You know, friends, when I went into this company to work, it's called Laboratory Equipment Sundrian Berhad. When I went into this company, there were one Christian who was almost dead, and I was a Christian, was alive in 1970s. When I went in, you know, and I said, Lord, give me a burden. When I left the place, we had 16 people praying every Saturday. Every Saturday. And out of this company, two of us came full time. Two of us. Look, I created an impact. Because I'm called a fireman for souls. I'm called fishers of men. I'm called a witness. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's our responsibility. I pray as I conclude this message this morning. And you know, as I conclude this message, I pray that God will give us burden for souls. God, give us burden for souls. And give me zeal then. To reach them. Give me burden for souls, a vision for souls, prayer for souls. This is not some old time preaching. This is the end time preaching. Jesus said in Matthew 24 verse 14, this gospel will be preached in all the world as a sign, and then I will come. Come, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons like these, check out our website at calvary.com.my. We hope you have a blessed week ahead.